Please open to Hebrews 11. In his book, Pastoral Grit, The Strength to Stand and to Stay, Craig Brian Larson writes, in 1972, NASA launched the exploratory space probe Pioneer 10. According to Leon Jaroff in Time, the satellite's prime mission was to reach Jupiter, photograph the planet and its moons, and beam data to Earth about Jupiter's magnetic field, radiation belts, and atmosphere. Scientists regarded this as a bold plan, for at that time, no Earth satellite had ever gone beyond Mars, and they feared the asteroid belt would destroy the satellite before it could reach its target. But Pioneer 10 accomplished its mission and much, much more. Swinging past the giant planet in November 1973, Jupiter's immense gravity hurled Pioneer 10 at a higher rate of speed toward the edge of the solar system. At 1 billion miles from the Sun, Pioneer 10 passed Saturn. At some 2 billion miles, it hurtled past Uranus, Neptune at nearly 3 billion miles, Pluto at almost 4 billion miles. By 1997, 25 years after its launch, Pioneer 10 was more than 6 billion miles from the Sun. And despite that immense distance, Pioneer 10 continued to beam back radio signals to scientists on Earth. Perhaps most remarkable, writes Jaroff, those signals emanate from an 8-watt transmitter, which radiates about as much power as a bedroom nightlight and takes more than 9 hours to reach Earth. The little satellite that could was not qualified to do what it did. Engineers designed Pioneer 10 with a useful life of just 3 years, but it kept going and going. By simple longevity, its tiny 8-watt transmitter radio accomplished more than anyone thought possible. So it is when we offer ourselves to serve the Lord. God can work even through someone with 8-watt abilities. God cannot work, however, through someone who won't go forward or step out. Now, we can come up with a lot of statements that apply to the illustration. Now, one of them is a little power goes a long way. An 8-watt transmitter has about as much power as a nightlight. This device sent radio signals back to Earth from deep in outer space. But when you carry that thought over to the spiritual life, believers today have more than a little power at their disposal. They have what the Apostle Paul calls the power to do all things. Now, where does that power come from? Well, it comes from God, obviously. God is the source of power for every believer today. In the spiritual life, there is no task believers cannot accomplish. And there's no objective they can't obtain. The only thing that could stop any believer today from accomplishing the task is the believer himself. The only thing that could stop any believers today from accomplishing the task at hand is his unwillingness to go forward. And this pertains to the subject at hand. Now, not this past Wednesday, but in our last two sessions, we've been dealing with a subject called perseverance. Now, it occurred to me as I was trying to come up with a title for this session, the one I chose pretty much applies to all three of the sessions. So there's a connection or a link between living the spiritual life in any kind of adversity. Now, this is our third message in the series, and each one of them could bear the same title as this one. And we said it before, in the Christian life, suffering is inevitable. Jesus said it, John 15, verse 20. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Paul said to his student Timothy, who was imprisoned by fear, and as a result, he was not accomplishing the task he was supposed to be accomplishing. Paul's words, 2 Timothy 3, verse 12, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Now, note that this statement doesn't apply only to Timothy. It applies to all Everyone who tries to live the Christ-like life will feel at some point the weight of persecution in some form. And it's to be expected. Peter brought it out. Peter wrote his first letter to a group of believers who he referred to as aliens, strangers scattered throughout the land. The question is, what is an alien? Well, an alien is a person who doesn't belong to the world in which he lives. That definition fits believers today. Believers today do not belong to the world that we live in. We are citizens of heaven. Now, that being the case, we're not going to be looked upon favorably in the world. Instead, we might be laughed at, ridiculed, verbally, and maybe even physically abused. In some cases, our rights might be taken away. We might be imprisoned, or maybe even given over to death. We've been noting this in our current series. People all over the world today have been subject to many of the things we just noted because they're not citizens of this world. They're citizens of heaven, followers of Jesus Christ, and they refuse to renounce Christ. Now, why do we have to discuss this? Because we need to be aware of these things for a number of reasons. One of them is so that we're not taken by surprise if that day comes when we're facing some kind of persecution. This was the case with the recipients of 1 Peter. The believers Peter wrote to were taken by surprise. And what happens when believers are taken by surprise when they come face to face with some kind of adversity? What happens is they can't function. They lose focus. They focus on the problem instead of on all the points that we've been discussing in this series. Now, when that happens, we're no longer effective in the spiritual life. The fact of the matter is, throughout human history, believers have been persecuted for the name of Jesus Christ. But the trials, the adversities, the pressures of life, no matter what form they come in, can have positive effects if we focus, if our focus is right. Now, we already made clear the fact that persecution is nothing new. We noted it in the case of a number of Old Testament saints who stepped out by faith in the face of what seemed to be insurmountable odds. And like a lot of believers today all over the world, many of them gave their lives. Look at what the writer of Hebrews said concerning these individuals in Hebrews 11, verse 36. And others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were put to death with a sword, they went about in sheepskins, in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. Now, these individuals suffered for their faith, but the fact of the matter is they stuck to their faith. And the writer tells us the world was not worthy of such men. The adversities these individuals faced had positive effects. Now, that being the case, the writer of Hebrews tells us that they are examples to believers today. This morning, we're going to talk about Daniel. Daniel was another of the Old Testament saints who faced persecution because of his faith. Now, Daniel was taken into captivity in Babylon during the first deportation of exiles, which was in 605 BC. But Daniel wasn't your average, ordinary believer. Now, he was probably a prisoner. He was probably a teenager when he was taken into exile. Nebuchadnezzar was king of Babylon at that time. Now, Nebuchadnezzar had a policy. He would select the best of the people from the nations that he took as captives to serve him. Now, Daniel and his three friends were chosen. Now, as we said in the past, Nebuchadnezzar was not somebody that you fool around with. Not somebody that you wanted to mess with. While being trained, the people that he chose to serve under him, they were given the king's food to eat and the king's wine to drink. Nebuchadnezzar wanted not only the best, but also the strongest people. So he fed them well. But here's where Daniel and his three friends came face to face with a problem. A crossroads, as we call it, in a number of other instances. Eating the king's food was a violation of the Mosaic law. By doing so, they'd become defiled. So Daniel's friends politely refused to eat the king's food. Now, here's where the subject of stepping out in faith is in view. When we step out in faith, we put ourselves in a position where we're depending on God to provide for us. Daniel and his three friends took a step of faith, all the while relying on God to work out the details. An overseer was put in charge of the young men. The overseer was to see to it that the young men were well-fed and ready to serve. But in order to avoid becoming defiled, they didn't want to eat the king's food. But the overseer was concerned that if they didn't eat the king's food, their performance would be affected and he'd have to pay the price. So Daniel asked if he and his friends could be allowed to eat only food that would not defile them for a period of 10 days. And the overseer granted permission and God took care of the problem. Now, what's the point? Well, that brings us back to our subject. Daniel and his friends could have just gone along with the flow and eaten the king's food. They're in captivity. What difference does it make at this point? Yeah, we'll get back to the Mosaic Law first chance we get. That's how a lot of believers think today. I don't have time right now for the Word of God. I got this stuff going on over here. When I get these things straightened out, I'll get back to it. You know what? Good luck. If that's a person's attitude, you're not going to get back to it. If that's a person's attitude, the Word of God is not that person's priority. And when the Word of God is not our priority, we're not getting back to it. When the Word of God is not our priority, everything that comes along takes precedence. Please go to Daniel 3. Perseverance has been our subject for the last three sessions. What is perseverance? Perseverance is sticking to the task no matter what and patiently enduring, and doing so in confidence, fully assured that God has the situation under control. See, that's perseverance. Daniel and his three friends persevered, and God dealt with the situation. Daniel and his three friends were in the world, but they didn't think and act like the people of the world. The people of the world worship idols. What did we say about idols? Anything can be an idol. Professional football is underway again. The preseason, it's already started, earlier this week. But the game of football is not what it used to be. Football today is a huge money-making machine. There are countless numbers of people who are not involved in the game, who make their living off the game. People from all walks of life got their hand in the till. Football today has become an idol for many people. But idolatry is nothing new. The ancient world had its idols as well. Remember Nebuchadnezzar's image of gold? Chapter, 3. Yeah, I told you to go to chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, and he commanded everyone to worship it. At the sound of a horn, everyone would have to bow down and worship Nebuchadnezzar's image. Anybody who refused would be thrown into a blazing fiery furnace. But guess what? Daniel's three friends refused. Look at what they said. Daniel 3, verse 16. O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you've set up. Now, in the face of a very painful death, these men refused to worship Nebuchadnezzar's idol. Now, that's called sticking to the task no matter what. All the while confident in God, even if it meant death. Let's look at another example. In this series, we discuss persevering in prayer. There are believers all over the world today who are being persecuted. They need our prayers. Now, here's where perseverance in prayer is in view. We'll be noting it later on. Daniel persevered in prayer, and he did so in the face of death. At this point in his life, Daniel was an old man. Nebuchadnezzar was dead. Babylon had been defeated by the Medes and the Persians. Darius had become the king. Darius and Daniel had a good relationship. This resulted in the promotion for Daniel. Darius appointed 120 satraps to be in charge of the kingdom, and over those 120 satraps, he appointed three commissioners. The commissioners would be involved, would be over the satraps. Daniel was one of the commissioners. Now, this is one of those blessings that God gave Daniel because Daniel persevered throughout his life. The point that I tried to bring out in this series is perseverance results in blessings. Paul brought it out in his letter to the church at Rome when he encouraged his readers to exult in their tribulations. Now, why does anyone in their right mind result in their tribulation, in adversity, in persecution? Well, Paul tells us that because tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance brings about proven character. In other words, trials and tribulations are tests, and these tests are designed to bring out the kind of character in believers that God can use. Therefore, when believers persevere under trial, they're being molded into the kind of person that God can use, that God calls them to be. Now, the trial itself might be painful, physically, emotionally, or even both. But what results is a stronger believer. And that in itself is a blessing. But there's other blessings that come from it as well. There are the blessings of confidence in God and courage under fire. There's the blessing of having an impact on others. When we have an impact on others, there's the potential to change the course of a nation. And there are so many other blessings that can come from one person's perseverance. Pastor Bob used to say, you can't put God in a box. God can take the smallest act of one believer and use it to change the world. Now, that being the case, never say, what can I do or what do I have to offer? The smallest, or what seems to be the smallest thing in our minds, God could use for the greatest effect. Therefore, persevere and keep on persevering. And give God the opportunity to use you in a fantastic way. God used Daniel in a fantastic way. From the point of being a very young man, a teenager when Daniel was taken into captivity, he refused to eat the king's food. Well into his old age, Daniel persevered. At this point in his life, Darius was considering putting Daniel in charge of the kingdom. But that made the satraps and the commissioners jealous. So they conspired against Daniel. They went to the king, and they got the king to enforce a statute stating that if anybody made a petition to anybody except the king for a period of 30 days, that person was to be thrown into the lion's den. So the king established it, and he signed it. Now, by signing it, it couldn't be revoked. This was accordance with the laws of the Medes and the Persians. I'm going to get ahead of myself. But the question that emerges is, what does all this have to do with Daniel? Well, Daniel was a man of prayer. Daniel prayed 3 times a day according to his faith. Daniel knew the document had been signed. But here's where we come to one of those crossroads again. Daniel had a choice to make. He could have taken the easy way out. Hey, the statute's only good for 30 days. You know, why rock the boat? You know? I'll wait out the 30 days, then I'll get back to it. Well, this brings us back to the subject of priorities again. We're either living the Christian life or we're not. When we're at the point of, I'll get back to it, well, then we're not. Christian life is a life of perseverance. If you haven't picked up on it yet, I'm sure you did, but the link between the Christian life and persecution is perseverance. On that path we call the spiritual life, every believer is continuously one step away from being off the path. The one factor that keeps us on the path is perseverance. But here's the key point. It's through perseverance that we accomplish the objective. Listen to the illustration. Betty Nesmith had a good secretarial job in a Dallas bank where she ran across a problem that interested her. Wasn't there a better way to correct the errors she made on her electric typewriter? Betty had some art experience, and she knew that artists who worked in oils just painted over their errors. Maybe that would work for her too. So she concocted a fluid to paint over her typing errors. Before long, all the secretaries in her building were using what she then called mistake out. She attempted to sell the product idea to marketing agencies and various companies, IBM included, but they turned her down. However, secretaries continued to like her product, so Betty Nesmith's kitchen became her first manufacturing facility, and she started selling it on her own. When Betty Nesmith sold the enterprise, the tiny white bottles were earning $3.5 million annually on sales of $38 million. The buyer was Gillette Company, and the sale price was $47.5 million. Now, that's a perfect example of what can result from one person's perseverance. See, Daniel didn't take the easy way out. Instead, he continued to pray three times a day. In Daniel 6, look at verse 10. Daniel chapter 6. Now, when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house. Now in his roof chamber, he had windows open toward Jerusalem, and he continued kneeling on his knees three times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God, as he had been doing previously. See, Daniel didn't keep it a secret. And before long, he was caught and thrown into the lion's den. But the question that emerges is, was Daniel taken by surprise by all of this? No, of course not, he wasn't taken by surprise. The verse tells us he knew about the signed document, but he continued to pray anyway, three times a day, just as he always did, with his windows open. Now that tells us Daniel wasn't trying to keep his prayers a secret. Therefore, he wasn't surprised when he was taken into custody, thrown into the lion's den. And since Daniel was not taken by surprise, he was able to maintain correct focus. Now, that being the case, he didn't focus on the problem at hand, principle. When believers are not focused on the problem, they have the ability to see the outcome. The ability to see the outcome sets the potential to persevere. As we stated earlier, this was not the case with the recipients of Peter's letter. They faced what Peter called a fiery ordeal. And as a result, they were surprised. Please hold your place in Daniel. I don't know if I'm coming back there. And go to 1 Peter 4. In 1 Peter 4, look at verse 12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory you may rejoice with exultation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Make sure that none of you suffers as a murderer or thief or evildoer or troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God in this name. Back in verse 12, note the word strange. The fact of the matter is, adversity, suffering, persecution, whatever you want to call it, is not something to be considered as strange in the Christian life. As we stated in the past, adversity is inevitable. Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. Suffering, therefore, is to be expected. In reality, suffering on behalf of Christ is an honor. Look at the words of Peter and John after they were arrested for preaching the name of Jesus. Look at Acts 5:41. So they went on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Now note that Peter and John rejoiced. because they were given the opportunity to suffer on behalf of Christ. But also note what they did after that. They kept on preaching the name of Jesus as the Messiah. That's perseverance. So the point is, Christians shouldn't look at suffering as strange. Suffering is not strange, it's normal. So Peter's point is, don't allow suffering to take you by surprise. We're in a war, it rages all around us. Everything going on in the world today is the result of spiritual warfare. Look at what Jesus said, John 16, verse 1. These things I have spoken to you so that you may be kept from stumbling. They will make you outcast from the synagogue, but an hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think that he is offering service to God. Isn't that going on today? These things they will do because they have not known the Father or me. In our last session, we listed a number of terrorist groups. These individuals think that what they're doing to Christians today is right. They're deceived, and deception comes from Satan. But Satan's at work trying to deceive Christians as well. He's trying to get Christians to doubt the fact that God has everything under control. When Christians begin to doubt God, they lose the ability to persevere. When Christians no longer persevere, they miss out on the blessings. James stated it. Count it all joy when you encounter various trials. Why? Because these trials are tests of faith. These tests are designed to produce perseverance. And the result of perseverance is a spiritually stronger believer who's becoming spiritually mature. See, that's the blessing. Spiritual strength and spiritual maturity are blessings given to believers who keep on persevering in learning and in growing and in faith and taking a stand when a stand needs to be taken. These are blessings given to believers who give up the self-life to live the spiritual life, to remain faithful, especially when remaining faithful is difficult. James spoke of blessings. Jesus spoke of blessings as well. Blessed are you when people persecute you. Why? Because your reward is great in heaven. Principle. Since the reward is great, the testing is going to be hard. But the harder the test, the greater the reward for those who persevere. We talked about focus in the past. We can focus on things of this world, horizontal focus, or we can focus on things above, vertical focus, perspective. See, what we focus on makes all the difference. If this world is our home, then suffering and adversity are going to create fear. But if we see heaven as our true home, then we have somewhere to go when this is all over. Obviously, all believers have somewhere to go when this is all over. But when we see that, when we look at that, when we understand that, it makes life here a lot easier. One of the problems that exists among Christians today is they've become comfortable. In the past, we called it the neat little life. People who live neat little lives don't like it when their little lives get ruffled. In our last two sessions, we discussed aspects of the summit on Christian persecution that was held in Washington, D.C. in May. Rabbi Zacharias spoke at that summit. Rabbi Zacharias encouraged Christians to resist temptation to live the comfortable life. The point that emerges here is living the comfortable life and perseverance can't function in the same system. Perseverance is not comfortable. Therefore, Christians can't live the comfortable life and persevere at the same time. Remember the scribe who claimed to follow Jesus anywhere he went? What did Jesus say to him? The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. In other words, Jesus didn't live the comfortable life. Therefore, disciples of Jesus aren't going to have the luxury of living the comfortable life either. We have it nice here in this little corner of the world. Real persecution hasn't hit Christians here yet. The question that emerges is, what are Christians going to do if real persecution ever finds its way here? Now is the time to prepare, so we're not taken by surprise by the fiery ordeal that might come upon us for our testing. Now is the time to prepare so we don't shrink back if this type of adversity should strike. Now is the time to persevere. Peter said it in 1 Peter 1. Turn a few pages back to verse 13. 1 Peter 1, verse 13. Subject of this passage has to do with perseverance. 1 Peter 1:13, therefore prepare your minds for action, keep sober in spirit, fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Now, the word therefore at the beginning of the passage is a term of conclusion. It's based on everything Peter wrote in the first 12 verses of the chapter. In the first 12 verses, Peter wrote about our salvation. We've been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have an inheritance reserved for us in heaven that will not fade away. We have something the Old Testament saints, prophets, didn't fully understand and angels longed to look into. Therefore, Peter writes, prepare your minds for action. In other words, now that you have the firm foundation of salvation, brace yourselves, be firm, be consistent, be determined. All of that implies being prepared for a fierce and intense conflict that might come. We studied armor in the past. The girdle was a piece of armor worn by Roman soldiers. It resembled the type of belt that the Roman soldier could take and tuck his tunic up into. So if he had to move, if he had to run, if he had to do whatever with his feet, he wouldn't get tangled up in his tunic. See, that was a mark of preparedness. Peter's implication has to do with spiritual preparedness. This brings us back to the Word of God. The idea here is to be girded with truth. When our thinking is filled with truth, anything that would hinder spiritual growth is removed. Then we have the phrase, keep sober in spirit. It's a reference to spiritual sobriety. We alluded to this earlier in the series. The question that emerges is, are believers today focused on truth, or do they focus on a form of truth? In other words, what truth do believers rely on today? Is it the absolute truth of the Word of God, or is it something that tickles their ears? Preparedness doesn't come from in that which tickles our ears. That which tickles the ears clouds the issue and causes spiritual intoxication. What does the phrase spiritual intoxication mean? It implies being inundated with forms of knowledge that resemble truth, but does nothing more than cause distractions. In the same way that alcohol fills a person to the point where he can't function properly, forms of truth fill believers and cause them to lose focus to the point where they're spiritually ineffective. The principle here is be careful what you hear and how you hear it. What we hear has the potential to discipline our minds and empower us to run the race with endurance. But what we hear can also serve as a distraction and leave us unarmed. In light of that, the idea that stems from the phrase be sober in spirit is be disciplined. And then stay focused on our future hope, which will be realized at the revelation of Christ. In verses 14 and 15, we have a contrast. In verse 14, Peter tells us, do not be conformed to the former lusts. Here, Peter's telling us not to be controlled by our sin natures. In other words, watch out for the trap of falling into the neat little life syndrome. Don't get wrapped up in the self-life. Don't get caught up in those pseudo-truths that entertain. Avoid anything that has to do with lust. On the other hand, Peter says, keep becoming holy. The implication there is that believers keep going forward in the Word of God so that God the Holy Spirit can transform the thinking process. Change thinking results in leading holy lives. Believers who lead holy lives stand out as lights in the world. That opens the door to persecution, but it also sets the potential to lead others to Christ. But all this doesn't happen automatically. Believers have to actually do something. The key to accomplishing this task, keep becoming holy, is perseverance. Believers who continuously persevere in the Word of God will have the power to persevere when confronted by adversity. That power also comes through prayer, by the way. But we can't wait for adversity to strike, however, to go to God in prayer. That's what the people of Judah did. This is one of the things we picked up from our survey class. People of Judah turned their backs on God to worship idols. When calamity hit them, oh, then they cried out to God. But by then it was too late. God wouldn't answer. It's brought out in Proverbs 1. All through major prophets brought out the same point. Minor prophets noted it as well. God wouldn't answer them. Look at what Jeremiah said, Jeremiah 11, verse 11. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I am bringing disaster on them, which they will not be able to escape. Though they cry to me, yet I will not listen to them. Why didn't God listen to their prayers? Because they weren't dedicated to the Lord. They turned their backs on God. See, they just wanted God to get them out of a jam. See, God knows our hearts. When we go to God in prayer, God knows what we really want. For those who persevere in prayer, God, the Holy Spirit, guides them into how to pray effectively. That's why we've got to pray over and over and over and over and over again, continuously. As we do, we're guided into effective prayer. God shows us things through prayer. The point we tried to emphasize in this series is there's power in effective prayer. Jesus prayed an effective prayer on the night before the cross. In a few hours, all the disciples would desert Jesus. Peter would deny him three times. Look at Jesus' words, Luke 22, verse 31. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Peter's courage would be shaken that night, but not his faith. Peter would be restored, and he'd go on to play a major role in God's plan. But how does this apply to us today? Well, as we said, Christians are being persecuted all over the world today. Our prayers have the power to strengthen their faith. Our prayers have the power to give them the strength to persevere through their suffering until God brings them through. That being the case, we need to pray for these believers so they're given the power to persevere. Even when they're staring into the face of death. We need to pray for world leaders to take a stand against Christian persecution. We need to pray so that God shows us here in America, here in our church, what we could do to play a part in bringing an end to persecution in the world. And we need to pray for ourselves and other members of our church as well, for our own spiritual growth and the ability to persevere in the Word of God. In prayer and in the face of adversity, we need to pray for these things. You want a strong church? A church that's going to be there for you and for your children? Pray for the members of your church and keep on praying. Power to persevere also comes through the Holy Spirit. Remember Matthew 4? Jesus fasted in the wilderness for 40 days. When he came out of the wilderness to enter into his ministry, he was hungry, he was tired. That made him an easy target for Satan. But Jesus was something else as well. Look at Luke 4, verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. Note that Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of believers is, as Paul put it, the power to do all things. All believers in this age have the power of God within them. Putting that power to use doesn't come through YouTube, Facebook, or whatever form of social media people follow. It comes through the Word of God, the filling of the Holy Spirit, and prayer. Why is this important? Why is perseverance of believers so vital today in this world? This is what we're going to focus on for the rest of the session. Now, it's obvious that we're nearing the end of the age. We could be standing before Jesus Christ in the very near future. How do we want it to go on that day? Do we want to stand in confidence before our Lord, or do we want to stand in shame? What we do now will determine how we stand later on. Why is perseverance important? Let's note some reasons. First, perseverance is a test of faithfulness. These things that we go through, these forms of adversity, they test our faith to see how we're going to respond. Whether believers are persevering in the word or whether they're persevering in the midst of trials and pressures of life, perseverance indicates a degree of faithfulness. Remember Paul's words not long before he was martyred? I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have run the race. I have kept the faith. Paul was faithful to the end. Paul was faithful right up to his death. The second part of Paul's life was a life of service to the Lord. Paul said, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." If you could measure faithfulness, Paul would have had one of the highest scores. Paul's score would have been right up there with many of those Old Testament saints from Hebrews 11. I was talking to somebody about this recently, you know, and especially it pertains to anyone who communicates the word of God, and that's most of you pretty much. When you go to communicate the word of God to a group of people and you see like a handful of people show up, or especially in the prisons when sometimes nobody shows up, it's discouraging. It's discouraging. But rest in this fact that you went, you made the effort. See, that's faithfulness, and faithfulness is what counts in the spiritual life. Faithfulness is what counts. God doesn't see, oh, well, they don't get any credit today because nobody showed up to hear their message. God sees your faithfulness, and that's what God knows. Paul was faithful to the end. On the other hand, there was Demas. Look at 2 Timothy 4:9. Make every effort to come to me soon, for Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Demas chose the world over Paul when Paul needed them the most. The point is, perseverance shows us and others whether we stand or whether we fall back. The question is, when it's all said and done, if faithfulness could be measured, what would our score be? Second, perseverance has an impact in the world. This is one we've alluded to throughout this series. Perseverance leads to blessings, not just for us, but for others as well. By persevering in the Word of God and growing up spiritually, we advance toward the objective of maturity status. Remember Paul's words in Philippians 3, I press on toward the objective? Paul pressed on toward the objective of maturity status. The phrase press on implies perseverance. Why is this important? Because spiritually mature believers are lights that shine in a dark world. Spiritually mature believers have the capacity to pray effectively. Therefore, the prayers of spiritually mature believers have the potential to impact others. That being the case, their prayers have the power to impact persecuted Christians all over the world. This brings us back to the Word of God. Because Paul persevered, we have the completed canon of Scripture today. All those Bibles that completed canon of Scripture is being carried throughout the world today by people who are putting their lives on the line so that people who are without a Bible can have a Bible. Churches are being started in dangerous places throughout the world today so that the Bible could be taught to those who have a desire to learn it. And that's just the tip of the iceberg, but it all comes back to perseverance. When believers persevere in any spiritual endeavor, there's the potential for impact. Third, perseverance today sets an example for believers in the future. In the same way that Old Testament saints are witnesses to believers today, as to the power of perseverance, we who persevere today can become witnesses to future believers. This brings us to the fourth reason why perseverance is important. It's because of the great love of Jesus Christ. Rabbi Zacharias told an interesting story that took place at the Taj Hotel in Mumbai, where terrorists from Pakistan broke in and opened fire. One of the survivors was an actor who ran for cover. A few days later, when he was being interviewed, he said that the murderer who gunned everyone down was coming toward him with a machine gun. When he was asked why he wasn't killed, the only answer he could give was the fact that he was lying on a pile of dead bodies and he was covered with their blood. So he assumed that the gunman took him for dead. Zacharias went on to say that believers today are covered with the blood of Jesus Christ. Greater love has no one than this, than one lay down his life for his friends. That's what Jesus did for us. Jesus humbled himself. He took on the form of a bondservant and remained obedient to death, even death on a cross. The greatest act of love ever performed in the universe sets an example for every believer today. We've been given much. We don't lose anything by giving back. As a matter of fact, the more we give, the more we gain. Jesus said, "He who has found his life in this world will lose it, but he who has lost his life for my sake will find it." This parallels what we've been emphasizing for these three sessions. Perseverance today will result in blessings tomorrow. The next series of classes that we're going to have, I don't know if it's going to start Wednesday or the following Sunday, but the next series of classes we're going to have emphasize the importance of the Word of God. Part of that series is going to be have to do with how to get deeper into the Word of God. When we sit in a Bible class or when we read our Bibles at home, there's things we could do to take our knowledge of the Word of God further. And that's one of the things I'm going to be talking about. I'm also going to be talking about the situation the world is in today and certain things that we can do by persevering to make a difference. You know, people might think, you know, who am I? What can I do in this small corner of the world to affect the world? Well, the answer to that is obvious. Don't put God in the box. God can use any small act, as we said, to change the world. The key is faithfulness, perseverance. And there are rewards for that. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father, for the privilege to come together with members of the royal family to receive your word and to grow in grace and knowledge. Thank you for dedicated believers who hunger and thirst for your word and who are willing to give of themselves to come out and receive it. Most of all, Father, thank you for Jesus, who persevered under the worst conditions that ever took place, that ever encountered, that a man ever encountered. He persevered at the cross by being judged for every sin committed in the human race. And because of the person and work of Christ, you opened up a door, Father, for every believer today, a door to a fantastic new life. But that life is not always comfortable. Empower us, Father, to persevere through those times that are not comfortable. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Ushers, come forward. We'll take the offering.